please be seated. So, good morning. Glad you're here this morning. We'd like to talk a little bit about this text from Isaiah, and then jump into the gospel. Sort of sorry for skipping over the reading from 1 Corinthians. It's Paul really working some pretty interesting spiritual, mystical themes, especially that sense of how does the Spirit of God collaborate with our human spirit. And really, it's like trying to get us to examine, what does it mean for me to be a conscious being, and where do I connect, not just with my own little consciousness, but with sort of the mind of God, is really, and that's what he ends the lesson with. We have the mind of Christ. And Paul returns to this theme with some regularity. My favorite one probably is where he says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God at work in you, giving you both the desire and the ability to change. So you work it out, but God is at work in you. And so, it's that mysterious collaboration, you know, or it's the point where our awareness is open to and connects with a much greater reality. And Paul does. He returns to that theme. But that's about as much as I'm going to say about it. I want to talk about Isaiah a little bit. Have you noticed that we've been hearing this text seemingly every other week for about the last 4 months? It just keeps coming and it keeps coming. And what I want to draw our attention to this morning is sometimes things are simpler than they seem. And I think that's kind of what Isaiah is talking about. It's saying, do you want your life and the lives of those around you to get better? Well, to begin the path of that healing is not that mysterious. Stop doing what is so obviously the wrong thing to do. Stop lying. Stop cheating. Stop being violent. Stop slandering. Stop gossiping. And really, I think the pivot around which the text turns is, you serve your own interests on the fast days, which is to say, you serve your own interests all the time. And if you want things to get better, you have to make the shift from thinking only about yourself to concern for others around you. And that's the shift that takes place in this text. People, and for Isaiah, it's a nightmare world when everybody is devoted to their own self-interest. Maybe more than anything, it forces people to lie to each other because, you know, you really just can't sort of begin a relationship and say, well, I'm in it for myself. I don't care what happens to you. So you have to conceal that. And it just introduces into a whole social fabric, whether it's family or culture, town. It introduces deceit. And everything sort of falls apart from that simple beginning. And so Isaiah is saying, don't make it more mysterious than it is. Start doing the right thing. And when you open yourself to that and start putting it into practice, lo and behold, things will start changing for the better. So, I think I'm going to leave it. I say it. There's a kind of a simplicity and directness to that text, and I'm going to leave it at that. So jump to the gospel, and I want to say a little bit about being the light of the world, because I think people might hear that and be a little bit reticent. Who am I to be the light of the world? And let your light shine before others so that others may see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven. Again, this can be, and we have all known people, and sometimes even we ourselves may have strayed into this territory of wanting to let our light shine so as to benefit ourselves. It is really what I think of as my light. Look at me. Look at me. And of course, that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. Jesus is talking about to be the light of the world is to speak the truth in love in whatever situation you might be in. Speak the truth in love and be attentive and be honest. I could, but I won't, except for this slight reference, bring out one of my absolute favorite stories, which is The Emperor's New Clothes. You know, to be the light of the world is to be that child that finally breaks through the fog of everyone lying to themselves and others and saying, but he has no clothes on. I mean, this is being the light of the world, to name what is right in front of us, to name what's right in front of us and to speak the truth in love about what's right in front of us, being the light of the world. I hope you hear, through our familiarity with the story of Jesus, I hope you hear that letting your light shine before others does not always work out so happily. I mean, I have joked with deadly intent that were the story of the Emperor's New Clothes a biblical story, they would have killed the child. Because the unmasking, the revelation, that truth is not always welcome. In fact, it often provokes really significant defenses. People feel afraid when we are revealed, when we are known in a way that we don't control. Wait a minute, I didn't let myself be known to you that way. What are you seeing in me? And we often don't want that kind of response. So it sounds kind of happy in today's gospel, but remember, we live in a world in which all of us are afraid sometimes. And to speak the truth in love, or to love, always is, we approach that knowing that we tend to be fearful beings, so not to be naive about that. Then this matter of the law. I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And not a letter, not a stroke of the law will disappear until all is accomplished. And if you teach others to break the law, well, you'll be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, this is great. I want to talk about that because, first of all, Jesus was himself perceived as a lawbreaker. He was the lawbreaker. Why, you don't observe the Sabbath. You don't observe dietary. Why don't your disciples wash their hands? Which to us sound trivial. Oh, come on, washing your hands. Very serious religious obligations. Who you ate with, you know, rituals of cleanliness, rituals of observing the Sabbath. And so this matter of the law, I think for Jesus, as he said of the Sabbath, we're not meant to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for us. And if you understand that, you will have a certain freedom in relation to the Sabbath. Now, there's a text in my hardbound Jerusalem Bible, which a friend gave to me when I was 19. There is, in the Gospel of Luke, a footnote. And it says, well, here's a part of a manuscript that appears in some manuscripts. And we don't know if it's genuine or not, but here it is. And so it's a little story. Jesus and his disciples came across a man working on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, if you know what you are doing, you are blessed. If you do not know what you are doing, you are cursed as a breaker of the law. Which is to say, if you know the real human place of the Sabbath, that it's not a law slavishly to be obeyed, for fear of punishment if you violate it, but rather that it's for our benefit. If you understand that, then be blessed in exercising a certain freedom toward what that law dictates, which is what Jesus did. But if you don't know that, if you think you're just getting away with something because nobody's looking, then the law still has the same place in your heart and mind, and you're just breaking it. And that is bankrupt. It's worthless. But if you know what you're doing, you're blessed. A different example, very close to home. When I moved to Montana, there were no speed limits. Which, you could drink a beer while you were driving along, which, wow, that seems like it comes from the 19th century, but nonetheless, no speed limits. And what the law was, safe and prudent. The significance of that is that it gave to every individual who drove the responsibility to assess the situation and make your own determination as to what is safe and prudent. In my mind, that is very close to what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right?" And it's a revolutionary freedom. It's a freedom that rarely appears in, we no longer have the freedom to drive what we deem to be safely and prudently. That freedom was rescinded, and now it is a law that we have to obey. But the movement, I think, that Jesus really wanted to encourage in us is the other direction. Not, buckle up, it's the law. But think about your relationship to yourself, to other people, to your family. Buckle up, because it's the right thing to do. You make that decision yourself. Drive as you see fit. Make the assessment. Are there people around? Are the deer jumping over the roads? Is it icy? Is it night? Make the assessment. And then act appropriately. And this is Jesus talking about the real meaning of transcending the law. The law, not as a set of rules outside ourselves to be obeyed, but as a living spiritual exercise of engaging the world and paying attention and seeing what's there and deciding out of yourself what's appropriate to do or not to do. What laws to break? I'm not sure. I mean, we're not in a situation right now where there are, for instance, obviously unjust laws like laws of segregation, where if your skin color is wrong, then you can't go in a restaurant or in a bathroom. I mean, people broke those laws in the name of a higher truth. The laws that we might break, and I sort of offer that to you to ponder, but you know, there are also many, many unwritten laws. And I think often of the laws that govern our families. How often it is that within a family, though the law not be codified, nonetheless, everybody knows what it's safe to talk about and what should be avoided at all costs. And of course, the split, you might even sort of gauge the health of a family by how wide that split is. If it's really wide, whoa, you're kind of in trouble. But, you know, if it's sort of normal human anxiety that wants to keep a few things under the covers, you can live with that. Nonetheless, not for your own reasons, not thinking about yourself, but for the good of the family, is it worth becoming conscious of the laws that govern what you can talk about? And maybe breaking one of those laws. Maybe raising something up that might have needed to be named for generations. Because these things go through families. We instruct each other as to how we're to be a family and what's normal and what's acceptable. And all those have a kind of binding quality, and maybe part of the freedom that Jesus invites us into is to take the risk of crossing a line or breaking the unwritten law and naming and speaking about things that need to be spoken about. There's no guarantee that your assessment of the family situation is correct. There may be motives within you that you have not recognized. And yet, that's what we're left with. That's where sort of prayer and reflection meets action. As best I can see, this is what I think is going on. This is what feels to me needs to be said in our family right now. And break that law in the name, not when it's like the only way people can imagine a change in our relationship to the law is thinking, whee, I get to do anything I want. It's a falling away, it's lawlessness. And we just don't pay enough attention to the transcending of the law, moving to a higher place. Breaking the law in the name of a higher truth. Break your family laws. Talk to people about things that you might not have talked to them about. In the name of love. Speak the truth in love. The law doesn't go away, but there is a higher place from which to survey your own life. The law not being a code outside yourself, a set of rules, but now, like Paul was talking about, God's Spirit and your Spirit working together to bestow upon you what is really the most ordinary human dignity, to look out on your own life and make your own decisions in the